Welcome to Today on Broadway for Valentine's Day, Tuesday, February 14th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Timonini. I'm flying solo on this Valentine's Day episode, and not just because that is a painful metaphor for my current real-life situation, but because, well, frankly, apparently James had some sort of issue last night. I guess he was trying to deliver his handmade Valentine's Day card to Lena Hall. It was very sweet. It was on a nice, clean, white piece of paper, and all of the letters were cut out of different individual magazines. It was very artistic. Anyway, it said something about crawling belly deep through hell for her. I'm not sure, I didn't really get all the details. Anyway, I haven't heard from him in about 12 hours, so I hope he and, probably more importantly, Lena are safe and he can return for tomorrow's show. Anywho, with or without James, as promised at the end of this episode, I will play the audio from his interview with the one and only Nika Graf Lanzaroni. Okay, on to the news. Yesterday, the Second Stage Theater announced that this fall, they would be reviving Harvey Fierstein's Tony-winning play Torch Song Trilogy, now simply called Torch Song, beginning on September 26th. The show will be directed by Tony winner Moises Kaufman and will star Michael Urie as Arnold Beckhoff, the Tony-winning role that was originated by Fierstein as well. Second Stage says that the show will officially open in late October and an end date has not yet been announced. In a statement, Fierstein said, quote, "I've been encouraging director Moises Kaufman to look at the play with fresh eyes. I would never think of rewriting the plays, but have given him a newly edited text that reconceives the way I want the story told." So, we know Michael Urie is in. Who do you want to see play David and Mrs. Beckhoff, the roles originally created by Matthew Broderick and Estelle Getty off-Broadway? Let us know at Broadway Radio on Twitter or Facebook. For the second week in a row, there was a modest decline in the total Broadway grosses last week as the 23 collective shows dropped 0.33% in the Broadway grosses. Eight shows saw week-to-week increases, and The Great White Way added The Glass Menagerie and Sunday in the Park with George, who played five and one preview performances, respectively. In its five performances, the Sally Field, Joe Mantello Glass Menagerie grossed nearly $313,000, and the one performance of Sunday came in at $136,384. Moving from five performances to seven last week, Sunset Boulevard was the week's greatest gainer, up nearly $309,000 to come in at $1,142,254. On the other hand, it was a terrible, no good, very bad week at the Richard Rogers for Hamilton, who was the week's biggest loser, dropping over $311,000 to come in at the paltry sum of $2,903,693. Despite that embarrassing fall from grace, Hamilton was still way at the top of last week's grosses chart, followed by The Lion King at $1.5 million, Wicked at $1.3 million, The Book of Mormon and Aladdin at about $1.2 million, and of course the previously mentioned Sunset. Great Comet, despite all of those disappointed Grobenites that Michael Riedel wrote about, was about $39,000 from seven figures, and A Bronx Tale was at $844,000. Everything else was a little bit disappointing, but it was mid-February, and there was apparently a bit of a snowstorm last week that I heard about. So all in all, not too terrible. Speaking of terrible, In Transit continues to keep going despite depressing numbers. It had its second worst eight-show week at $234,518 last week. I honestly don't know how this one keeps running. We keep trying to look on the bright side, look at how many butts were in the seats, but there are clearly some producers out there obviously invested, no pun intended, on having this show stay open as long as possible. In some show and casting news yesterday, Daryl Roth and Hal Luftig announced that J. Harrison Gee, who has been playing the role on tour, will step into Lola's Thigh Highs as the new lead in the Broadway production of Kinky Boots. Gee will replace Todd Rickall beginning on March 6th, joining Killian Donnelly and Taylor Lauterman. I saw Gee in the tour stop here in Orlando, and he was fantastic. So New York Kinky Boots fans, you are in for a treat. Also yesterday, New York Signature Theater announced that they had extended Brandon Jacobs Jenkins' world premiere production of Everybody an extra week. The show doesn't open until a week from today, but will now run through March 19th, barring any future extensions. Directed by Lila Neugebauer, all tickets for the extension are just $40. In pretty cool news, actually, Academy Award winner and Tony nominee Estelle Parsons will be directing Stephen Adley Gergis' The Last Days of Judas Iscariot at La Mama this spring. The show will begin previews on March 9th and is scheduled to run through March 26th. A veteran theater actress and director with dozens upon dozens upon dozens of New York credits, the last show in New York that Parsons directed was a staged reading of Salome on Broadway for 2 months in 2003. She also directed As You Like It, Macbeth, and Romeo and Juliet in rep for Joseph Papp on Broadway from November of 1986 through May of 1987. The Last Days of Judas Iscariot will enjoy an extended run at La Mama after being developed at the Actors Studio, where Parsons has been a longtime member. It is being developed as part of the Theater and Social Justice Program using Actors Studio members. Parsons is an associate artistic director at the Actors Studio and actually created the Theater and Social Justice Program last year with a five-part agenda exploring race, poverty and illiteracy, religion, community, and environment. This production will mark the first time that the play will be performed with a full cast without using any double or triple casting. Pretty cool. Going from the stage to the Billboard charts, yesterday the original cast album of Dear Evan Hansen entered the Billboard 200 at number 8, the highest charting debut position for an original cast album since 1961. Yes, that means it was higher than Hamilton. In addition, the album debuted at number 4 on Billboard's top album sales ranking and number 1 on the top Broadway albums chart. The electronic version is available now, and physical edition arrives in stores on February 24th. One of only 4 cast albums to reach the top 10 of the Billboard 200 in the last 50 years, the album's historic success even outpaced that of Hamilton, which bowed at number 12. The other 2 albums to reach the top 10 in the last half century were... You want to guess? I'll give you a few seconds. Time's up. The answer is Rent and the original 1969 cast recording of Hair. Not bad. I know you got it, Robbie. You don't have to tell me. I got it. So, if Dear Evan Hansen is doing better on the charts than Hamilton did, at least for the first week, does that mean we can expect a Dear Evan Hansen mixtape soon? Maybe? Binge? Justin? I know you've got some Oscar thing going on here right now, but let's get on that, okay? All right, now, without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to the pre-recorded voice of James Marino, since he may or may not currently be legally indisposed. I'll be back to close out the episode after we hear all about Nika Graf Lanzaroni's February 23rd concert, Hero Worship, directed by the quasi-Grammy winner Robbie Rizel at Feinstein's 54 Below.
With us today, we have a very special guest. Nika Graf Lanzaroni is joining us.
Hi.
Hi, Nika.
Well, and you even pronounced it all correctly. How amazing are you?
Well, you know, long-time listener to the Ensemblist, so second-time caller, you know.
Yeah, that's true. You'd be surprised, though.
So, Nika, you know, our friend Robbie, you know, we're recording on a Sunday night right after those Grammy announcements, and our friend Robbie has racked it up here, hasn't he?
It's just the most amazing thing. I'm so excited for him.
You know, I've known Robbie for a long, long, long time. I was trying to figure it out yesterday. I think 17 years or something like that. Since he was a little one. It's just fills my heart to see him succeed, and he's so talented. But we're here to talk about you, and in fact Robbie comes back because you have a show coming up at 54 Below called Hero Worship on February 23rd.
Sure, which would not happen were it not for aforementioned Robbie Rizel. So
he is directing the production.
He's directing the thing, and he is writing the thing with me, and he is telling me to stop writing the thing and learn the thing because you don't have much time left.
I had emailed you and Robbie and said, hey, let's come on and talk about this. And Robbie's like, I can't. I'm at the Grammys.
BRB, so. Have to go win a major award. Hopefully you can handle this.
Tell us about Hero Worship. What is it and how did it come to be?
So, you know, the challenge in creating anything for yourself is finding the hook. And Robbie and I had met, I think we like first met and hung out for real during one of the annual Sondheimist concerts. And, you know, we were internet friends, but not really for real friends. And finally he was like, well, you know, this is something that I really love doing. And if you ever, you know, think of another show that you want to write for yourself, I'd really love to, you know, be your a partner on that. And I was like, ha ha ha, sure. You're amazing and brilliant. And yeah, right. But it turned out he was totally serious. And then as we became closer, he would be after me to really sort of get off my ass and write. And finally, a couple of months ago, he emailed and was like, I just got offered a couple of dates at 54 Below. Nobody who I have a normal, like a regular show with can do these dates. Ready, set, go. You have to pick one. And I was like, what? Oh, okay. I guess that's what's happening. And that is what happened, because nothing makes you write something faster than a deadline.
Deadline. Deadlines drive product. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's kind of how it began. And I thought of the hook, because I didn't just want it to be like a thing without a reason. So I was thinking through every bizarre, disparate reference and every artist that I have, you know, worshipped throughout my life, and thought that this might be, you know, a fun way to pay tribute to them and honor my family, who are my biggest heroes, and be able to, you know, sing and tell jokes, which I really like doing.
Well, that's great. So you have been putting this together. Do you want to kind of give us an idea of what we plan to see up on the 23rd of February?
I'll do some of that. Some of it,
yeah.
We want to be for the people who do come. But we are doing a big chunk where we finally explain to everybody once and for all who every single graph is and how they're related.
The graph.
So that we can all finally stop explaining it to everyone else.
That's great.
So that's one big chunk. And then, you know, there are tributes to the people who captured my heart from a really early age. It's interesting how so much of the art that we gravitate towards and people and artists that we continue to love, we find really young who stay with us. So I'm excited to sort of find a grown-up way to pay tribute.
So your musical director is Brian Nash.
Yes.
Have you worked with Brian much?
I worked with Brian. Brian and I went to the same college, but not at the same time. And I've met Brian on and off through the years again, and then worked with him through my best friend, Amy Jo Jackson. He does all of her stuff, and she has a ton of brilliant acts that she does that cover all sorts of things. And I knew I wanted somebody who could handle a mashup and know he is the master of the mashup. And somebody who would, you know, who would be able to do all the things that he does. He's a brilliant arranger and a brilliant pianist, and he's so funny and so talented. And I was like, oh God, please be available.
So you said you went to the same school. What school was that?
Boston Conservatory.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Excellent. So tell us, switch gears for a second. Tell us what's going on the Ensemblist these days.
We are just getting ready. We're in the thick of interviews for season 3. Mm-hmm. And we just released today the audio of one of our BroadwayCon panels. Go check that out and listen to brilliant people talk about all of the ways to be a whole entire person. which is kind of our number one ethos there.
So BroadwayCon, was this your first year as an exhibitor there, or?
No, I went last year and I was on a couple of panels and I ran a couple of panels. But this year we were running a story booth in the marketplace, mm-hmm. where we were just grabbing people and having them sit down and talk to us and talk to each other about what the Broadway community means to them and why they love it so much. And we're going to be using a lot of that audio in episodes throughout the season this year. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Cool. And you just finished up that Sweet Charity thing, didn't you?
Oh, that Sweet Charity thing. Yeah. That most. Yeah.
Yeah. So that
life-changing experience.
Yeah, I mean, wow, it was like a powerhouse of just talent, one after the other.
It really was. Oh man. You know, I've been saying about it all along. It's so rare that you get to make the kind of art that you want to make in the world and also get to sleep in your own bed at the same time.
Well, you've had that opportunity on a number of occasions. You're doing the Broadway production of Women on the Verge in Chicago, and then most recently off-Broadway at Sweet Charity. Anything else coming up for you in the on the horizon that we should keep our eyes open for?
Not that I know of, but if anybody's got any ideas, I'd love to hear them.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, with Robbie's new power connections into Hollywood, he'll probably be bi-coastal now, he will be landing you some sort of Netflix original. He's probably working out the deal right now at a party.
Yeah, let's go with that.
So Nico Graf Lanzaroni, the hero worship at 54 Below on February 23rd, and 7 o'clock, and soon to be coming to Netflix in an original series, I'm sure. So directed by Robbie Roselle.
Yeah, put that in the universe. That's fun.
Perhaps, you know what? Heard it here first. Heard it here first. We'll have links to 54 Below's website where you could buy tickets to this show and check out some information, as well as tickets to Nika's website, which is gorgeous and beautiful and really awesome, the Nika-Graf-Lanzaroni.com. And we will link to that in the show notes in case you have missed any of the vowels there, because we're all Italian. So, yep. Nika, thanks for joining us on Broadway Radio, and we'll talk with you soon, okay?
Thanks for having me.
All right, that sounds like a great show, doesn't it? Get your tickets. You won't regret it. All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Sound Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Have a great Valentine's Day. And whether you feel like it or not, tell somebody that you love how you feel about them today. Doesn't have to be romantic, although it can be, but a friend, family member, somebody that means a lot to you. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.